V'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Chav Vav. We're going to start approximately in the middle of the Omud of Daf Chav Vav, Omud Aleph. In the previous Gemara, we learnt, in the last sugya, in the last topic, we learnt about Efshar v'komachavan, Efshar v'loy komachavan, loy Efshar v'komachavan, loy Efshar v'loy komachavan, and the sugya took us until the middle of the Omud, and we are going to get back to that sugya at the end of the Omud. But in the meantime, the Gemara had mentioned a concept called Me'ila, which is the prohibition of deriving benefit from Hekdash, from anything that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's called Me'ila. Somebody who transgresses that has to bring a Korban Me'ila. And there's a whole Masechta dedicated to those Halachas, Maseches Me'ila. And one of the things that were mentioned was that the concept of Koil Mare V'Reach Ein bo mishum me'ila. That me'ila is only when you take something from Hekdash, when you have a tangible benefit from Hekdash, and something which is merely sound, sight, or scent, that means the beautiful sights of the Beis HaMikdash, the smells of the Ketores, the sounds of the Levim singing and playing their musical instruments, koil mare v'reach, there's no me'ila. And the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit more. Now says the Gemara, Gufa, Omer Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Reb Yeshua ben Levi mishum Bar Kapora. Reb Yeshua ben Levi said in the name of Bar Kapora, Koil Mare V'Reach Ein Bohen Mishum Me'ila. Anything which is to do with sound, sight, or scent is not eligible, I would say, one does not transgress the Avera, the biblical Avera of Me'ila does not apply to them. And in the previous sugya, we saw that in some cases, it's actually Osur Midirabonon to derive benefit even from Koil Mare V'Reach. Asks the Gemara, V'Reach, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila? Is it true, can it be what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said in the name of Bar Kapora, that if you smell the scent of the Ketores, that you haven't transgressed Me'ila? Well, Tani, we learned in a Braisa, HaMefateim Es HaKetores. If somebody is Mefateim, which means if somebody makes the Ketores, Ketores was a list of ingredients which are written in the Torah, and there's Mishnayos on it, how to make the Ketores, exactly how much of each of the ingredients are put together, and that makes the Ketores that they would offer in the Beis HaMikdash. If somebody makes Ketores in the same ratio of the ingredients as outlined in the Torah, le'islamid bo, just in order to learn how to make Ketores, oy le'moisro le'tzibur, or in order to give it to the tzibur, to be used for Ketores, then potter, then he is not chayev koros, because one of the 36 averus that one is chayev koros for is if somebody makes the Ketores. But if he's doing it to learn how to do it, or to give it to the tzibur, to the public, then he's not chayev koros. L'horiach bo. If, however, he makes the ketores with the intentions of smelling and benefiting from those ketores, chayev, then he's chayev koros. V'hameiriach bo. If somebody merely smells the ketores, he doesn't actually make the ketores, somebody else made the ketores and he smells the ketores, potur, he's not chayev koros, Elo Shemoel, he has transgressed Me'ila. So you see clearly that smelling the Ketores is subject to the Avera of Me'ila. So how could you, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, say, Koil Mare V'Reach Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila? Elo Omer of Papa, Rav Papa argues and changes the formula a little bit. Koil Umare, when it comes to sound and sight, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila, that he agrees with what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, there is no Me'ila. Lefisha ein ben mamash, because on sight and sound there is no substance. It's not something tangible. However, v'reach, when it comes to scent, where the scent is coming from the ingredients of the Ketores, and those ingredients have substance, la'achar shetale timrosoi, after the column of smoke has gone up, which means once they've already done the Ketores, and the mitzvah of offering the Ketores has been done, if after that a person has intentions to smell the Ketores and benefit and enjoy it, Ein bo mishum me'ila, he's not transgressed me'ila, hoil v'nasis mitzvosei. Since the required procedure of the Ketores has already been done, it's no longer subject to me'ila. And that is what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, that when it comes to Reach, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila, it's not always true. It depends, was it before the mitzvah was done with the Keteres or after? If it was after the Keteres was done, indeed there's no Me'ila. Not because it's intangible, but because Nasis Mitzvosoi, the required procedure has already been done. It's no longer Hekdush on that level. That one would be subject to Me'ila. However, if you had Hanah, if you smelled it, if you wanted to benefit from it before the procedure was done, before the Keteres was offered, then he would be subject to Me'ila. Continues the Gemara. Lememra de kol heicha de nasis mitzvasoi ein boi mishum Me'ila. It seems from what you, Rav Papa, are saying that there's a rule. It's a general rule that whenever a procedure has been done with something that belonged to Hekdush, once you've done the mitzvah, you've done what the Torah wanted you to do, if after that you derive benefit from Hekdush, you're not subject to Me'ila. Asks the Gemara of Ahari, Trumas Hadeshen. What's Trumas Hadeshen? There was a mitzvah that every morning a Kohen would go up to the base, to the Mizbeach, and take a shovel full of ashes from the Mizbeach and put it next to the Mizbeach. There was a designated place for it. He would pile it up and then it would actually get swallowed into the ground on that spot. And that's an avoid that would be done every day. The mitzvah was take the ashes and pile it in the place where he was supposed to put it. The Trumas Hadeshen, the Nasis Mitzvasa. As soon as he's put that shovel full of ashes where in the designated place, he's done the procedure required of him. And according to Rav Papa's rule, from this point on, there should no longer be any Me'ila. However, the Yeshbom Bishum Me'ila. There is, however, still Me'ila even after the mitzvah has been done. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, it's a Pasuk that many of us say in the morning, every morning, V'lovash ha-goyen midoy vad u'michnesei vad yilbash al-basari v'heirim es ha-deshen asher toicha lo'esh. He lifts from the ashes that the fire's burnt, es toicha lo'esh es ha-oilu ala mizbeach v'somoy, and he puts it eitzel ha-mizbeach, next to the mizbeach. So from there we see with somoy eitzel ha-mizbeach, there's shelo yefazer. There's two halachas. Number one, you should put it as a pile. Pile it next to the mizbeach. Do not scatter the ashes. Another halacha we learn, v'somoy, put it there, shelo yehene. And once it's there, make sure it stays there and you do not have any hano, any pleasure from these ashes, even after you've placed it there. So the Gemara is asking, you have here a case of Trumas Hadeshen where the procedure that was required of the Kohen has been done, and nonetheless, the Pasuk says, V'somoy, shelo yehene, you're not allowed to have anor. Why are you not allowed to have anor? Because of Me'ila, because it belongs to Hekdush. According to Rav Papa, there should be no issue of Me'ila, there should be no issue of having anor once the mitzvah has been done. Answers the Gemara, Mishum dehava Trumas Hadeshen ubigdei kuhuna shnei ksuvim haboim ke'echod v'chol shnei ksuvim haboim ke'echod ein melamdim. It says, it's true that if the Torah sometimes tells us something in one place, that we learn from there to everywhere else. In which case, you see here from Trumas Hadeshen that the Torah said that even after you've done the mitzvah, then it's also to have hanor from it. So we would learn from there that everywhere of Hekdush, anything to do with Hekdush, even after a mitzvah has been done, it would be also to have hanor. And then it would be a question on Rav Papa, who says that once it's Nasis Mitzvah, so it's mutter. However, if that was true, the Torah would only have to say it once. If the Torah tells it to us twice, on two occasions or more, that the Torah tells us that even after the procedure has been done, do not have hanor from it, then it seems that it's unique to these places where the Torah tells us that it's asa, but not to teach us for everywhere else, in which case it would not be a contradiction to Rav Papa. Where are these two places? One of them is Trumas Hadeshen, as we saw, but there's another one, and that is Bigdei Kohuna. We know that the Kohen Gadol had four white clothes that he would go into the Kodesh HaKodoshim on Yom Kippur with those clothes. The whole year round, the Kohen Gadol would wear 8 garments. On Yom Kippur, through part of the Avodah, mainly the Avodah that was done in the Kodesh Kodashim, that he would wear just 4 clothes. And after that, the Pasuk tells us that when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has finished with those 4 clothes, then that's it. The procedure that was going to be done with these clothes has been done. The question is, from this point on, is one allowed to have any benefit from these clothes or not? The Gemara says here that you're not allowed to have any benefit. We'll soon see where from, where the Pasuk says this. You're not allowed to have any benefit, even though the procedure with these clothes has been already done. In which case, you have two places where the Torah says that even though a procedure has been done, don't have benefit. So it's Shnei Ksuvim Aboim Ke'echod. It's two psukim teaching us the same thing. It's obviously to tell us that it's just in these two psuk, in these two places, not everywhere else. In which case, Rav Papa's rule remains intact everywhere else besides for in these two cases. So let's see this inside. That Dehav Mishum Dehav Trumas Hadeshen Ubigdei Kuhuna. Shnei Ksuv Maboim Ke'echod is two psukim teaching us the same thing. V'chol Shnei Ksuv Maboim Ke'echod. Whenever the Torah tells us something in two places, Ein Melamdim, it's not going to teach us for everywhere else. Truma Sadeshin, Hoda Omron. Truma Sadeshin is what we just saw, where it says, V'somoy Eitzel HaMizbeach, and we learn from there, place the ashes there, and even after that, it's Asar Bahano. Big Day Kuna. What's the case of the Big Day Kuna? Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Uvo Akoyen El Oil Moed, that the Kohen, Uvo Aaron El Oil Moed, Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol, would come into the Oil Moed, Uposhat as Big Day Abod, he would remove these white clothes, Ashelovash, Bavoye El HaKodesh, that he wore when he went into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, Vehinichom Shom, and he would leave them there. So the Gemara says that from the words, Vehinichom Shom, Melamed Shetunim Gniza, we learn from there, they have to be put away. No one is allowed to have any benefit from these clothes from that point on. So the Gemara says, okay, Hanichal Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon that we just mentioned, the Omri that say that from the words of Hinicham Sham, you should put it there. Melamed Shetunim Gniza, we learn that they have to be put away, no one's allowed to have benefit from there. Then I can understand that you have two places where the Torah says don't have benefit even after the procedure has been done, and since it's in two places and not just one, we cannot learn to everywhere else. And therefore, if Papa's rule that everywhere else, once the procedure has been done, there's no more Me'ila, is still intact. Elol Reb Doisa de Paligalayu, according to Reb Doisa, who argues with those Chachomim. The Omar and this Reb Doisa holds, Avl Ru'uyin Hein L'Koyin Hedyoit, that the words V'hinicham Sham just means that a Koyin Gadol should not use it for another Yom Kippur. But it does not mean that no one's allowed to have benefit from it, and a regular Kohen is actually allowed to use those clothes, because a regular Kohen always only wore four white clothes. Another Kohen Hedyot is allowed to use these clothes. Umay v'nicham sham, what's the word v'nicham sham telling us? Shelo yishtamish b'em b'yem ha-kippurim acher, that a Kohen Gadol should not use these clothes for another Yom Kippur. In which case, Michael Amemar, what are you going to say? Big Day Kuna is not a case where you're not allowed to have Hanoa after the procedure is done. According to Reb Doisa, even after the procedure is done, you are allowed to have Hanoa from it. Not even, or after the procedure is done, you're allowed to have Hanoa. So you only have Trumas Hadeshen being a case where we see that after a procedure is done, you're not allowed to have Hanoa. That would teach us that everywhere, once a procedure is done, you're not allowed to have Anah, and that would contradict what Rav Papa said, that once it's Nasis Mitzvasoi, there's no more Me'ila. Says the Gemara, no, I found yet another place where even Rav Doisa would agree that there's a Pasuk that tells us that you're not allowed to have Anah even after a procedure is done, and together with Trumas Hadesh, and again, you have two places where the Torah says it. If the Torah says it in two places, you cannot learn to everywhere else. What's this second place? Mishum Dehava Trumas Hadeshen Ve'eglo Arufa. What's an eglo arufa? If a corpse of a person, of a yid, was found in between two cities, he was found murdered, and we don't know who murdered him. What they would do is they would measure from the corpse to the nearest town, nearest city, and the rabbonim of that city would then do a procedure called eglo arufa. They would take a calf, they would decapitate it, and it was a whole procedure, and that way they would, so to speak, wash their hands off the murder and say, we are not responsible that this person got murdered. So that was the procedure called Eglo Arufa, a decapitated calf. And in that case, we'll soon see what it is, but in that case, it says that even after the calf has been decapitated, which means the procedure has been done, nonetheless, no benefit was allowed to be had from it. And it seems that Eglo Arufa is got something in common with regular hektish, regular me'ila. It's a procedure that needed to be done, and once the procedure was done, this calf remains osur b'hana. So it's a second place where nasis mitzvosa and it's still osur b'hana, and since there's two places, it's shnei k'suvim aboim ke'echod and ein melamdim, so it's not a question against Rav Papa. The have a truma sadeshen ve'egla rufa shnei k'suvim aboim ke'echod v'chol shnei k'suvim aboim ke'echod ein melamdim. Okay, and the question is now, okay, according to the opinion who holds of this rule, that when the Torah says something in two places, you cannot learn from them to everywhere else, then I can understand why it's not a question against Rav Papa. Since there's two places where it says that even if nasis mitzvosoi, then nonetheless it's osur b'hana, but everywhere else, once it's nasis mitzvosoi, it's mutar b'hana. Elo lemando oma melamdim, according to the opinion that holds that even when the Torah says something twice, you can still learn out from there to other places. Ma'ikalemeima, what are you going to say? You've got two places, either Trumas Hadeshen and Big Day Kuhuna, according to Avdoisa, you've got Trumas Hadeshen and Eglu Arufa, where even after the procedure's been done, it's Osa. We would learn from there to everywhere else. Even if Nasis Mitzvosoi, it's Osir Bahano, and this is a question against Rav Papa, who says that Nasis Mitzvosoi is no more Me'ila. Says the Gemara, you're right, according to that opinion that you can learn from two places to everywhere else, then indeed we would learn from these two places. However, in these two places and each one of them, I have a word or a letter that tells us that this halacha, that it remains osur b'hana, even after the procedure has been done, applies uniquely to this case, to the exclusion of everywhere else. Where do we find that? It says that over here, there's trei, or in these two cases, there's mi'uta. There's a word that says it's just here. Ksivi. There's a mi'ut, is written. Ksiv v'somoy. Over there, when it comes to Trumas Hadeshen, the pasuk says v'somoy eitzel ha-mizbeach. It, only referring to this mitzvah of the ashes, put it next to the mizbeach, and it should stay there, and even after you've put it there, don't have any benefit from it. From the vav of v'somoy, it says that this halacha of the Issa Hanah remaining even after Nasis Mitzvosoi is unique to Trumas Hadeshen. What about Eglu Arufa? Ksiv v'samoy, ksiv ha'arufa. In the case of Eglu Arufa, we learn from the words, when it says, v'chozikna irahu akrevim el acholol, yirchatsu es yedeim alo ha'eglo, ha'arufa banachal. And from there we learn that this Eglu, this calf stays osur b'hana, and it's only ha'arufa. It only applies to this decapitated calf, this calf whose head was chopped off, is that only there, in spite of the fact that the procedure's been done, it's still osur b'hana. But it's only here, and do not learn from here to everywhere else. And since in these two places it's clear that it's a halacha that applies uniquely to them, we would not learn to everywhere else. And if we don't learn to everywhere else, then it's that we don't have a contradiction against what Rav Papa said. And the Gemara doesn't actually tell us explicitly where in the parash of Eglu Arufa it says that you're not allowed to have benefit from this calf even after the procedure's been done. But Rashi brings the Pasuk in the end of Parashas Shaftim, where the Pasuk says, Vahiridu zikne o'irahi es ha'eglo el nachal eison, asher lo yei oved boi v'lo yizorea, v'orfu shom, you should decapitate this calf over the nachal shom, it should be there. And Rashi brings that we learn from there, demashma shom teikvurasa, not only that you have to decapitate it, you have to make sure it remains there, bury it there, no one should have any benefit from it any point after that. And that's the source that Eglu Arufa, even after nasis mitzvosoi, is not allowed to have any hanor from it. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going back to the previous sugya that we learned on Daf Chof Ches and the top of Daf Chof Hei, the end of Chof Hei and the beginning of Daf Chof Vav, where we learned there about a person who's having hana, who's having benefit from something that he's not allowed to have hana from, in a situation that was either easily avoidable or not so easily avoidable, and or in a case where he intended to have benefit from these Yisurei Hanoah, or if he didn't intend to have benefit, it was just the benefit was there and he was enjoying it, he was benefiting from it without his intention. So we saw before that Rava held in the second version, Rava held that in the case of Loy Efshar v'komechavin, which means a place where he could not really avoid being there, and he did have kavona to benefit from these Yisurei Anah, Rava held it was Osir. And the Gemara brought a number of sources to Rava. Rava tried to bring some sources, and the Gemara always said how Abaya would have refuted those proofs, because Abaya says that if it's Loy Efshar, then even if it's Mechavan, it's Mutar. Or according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a Dovah She'enim Miskaven is Osir. According to Rabbi Shimon, Dovah She'enim Miskaven is Mutar, and according to the second version, it would be Osir, even according to Abaya. So now the Gemara is going to bring a third source to Rava that Loy Efshar v'kom mechavin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is actually Osir. Says the Gemara, Toshema hichnisa l'rivka. Now there are two cases in the Torah that we find that an animal is going to be used for a specific mitzvah, but the condition is that these animals have never been worked with. One of them is Egla Rufa that we mentioned before. This calf that was going to be decapitated by the Beis Din because they're trying to atone for the murder of this person however Egla Rufa worked. And the other one is Pora Aduma, the red cow that was used for Pora Aduma, that its ashes, the water with the ashes, were then sprinkled on people that were Tomei Mace to become Tohir. In both cases, and there's a lot of similarity, and Rashi brings on Daf Chavava on Beis, Rashi brings from a Gemara in Saita, that we learn out the many halachas for one to the other, Egla Rufa and Pora Aduma, that the Pasuk says you're not allowed to, they must not have been worked with or upon in order to be able to be used either for Egla Rufa or for Pora Aduma. And what happens if you had this person who had a calf, and this calf needed to drink from its mother? Its mother was amongst a team of four cows that was plowing a field. And this calf needed to feed from its mother, needed to drink. So what did this person do? He attached this calf to the team of cows where his mother was, in order he could drink from his mother. But since his mother was plowing, then the calf was also plowing. And if a calf plows, then if you actually make it plow, and you want it to plow, then it's a pasuk in the Torah. You've worked with it. It's no longer valid for Egla Rufa. So it says as follows, Hichnisa l'rivka. If the owner, he hitched this calf onto the team of cows, V'dosha. And he had no desire or intention for this calf to actually, to do any threshing, but it did. Together with his mother, he was threshing whatever was being threshed. Kshera, this calf is still allowed to be used for an Egla Rufa. Bishvil shetina ikvetidoish, if the intentions of the owner was to put the calf there, not only that it should drink from its mother, but with the intentions of helping the team of cows to thresh, then psula. Then this calf is no longer valid for Egla Rufa. Says the Gemara, or says Rava, v'ha-hocha, in this case, d'loy efshar, it's not really feasible not to attach this calf to its mother, because the calf has to feed. It will die if it doesn't drink. V'kom mechavin, and we're talking about a case where, in the event that the owner of this calf has intentions that it should thrash with its mother, uktani psula. So you see clearly, loy efshar v'kom mechavin is osir. So, of course, this would be proof to Rava. Says the Gemara, and this would possibly be Abaya's refutation to this proof, that Shani Hosam Dichsiv Asher Loi Ubad Bo. The Pasuk says regarding this Egla Rufa, the Pasuk goes as follows, V'hoyo ha'ira kroiva l'cholol v'lokhu zikne ha'ira hi Eglas Bokor Asher Loi Ubad Bo. That has not been worked with, this calf, Asher Loi Moshcha Bo'el, and it never carried a yoke. Now, if you look in the Chumash, or in the Sefer Torah, the word Loi Ubad actually is written Ayin Beis Dalet. Ayin Beis Dalet means Ovad. You didn't work with it. Ubad means work wasn't done with it. It's very different. And the Gemara is soon going to address that. So says the Gemara, Shani Hosam Dechsiv Asher Loi Ubad Bo. At this point, the Gemara is just bringing proof. The Pasuk says explicitly, "Ashaloi ubad bo mikol mokim," that no work was done with it, even if you didn't work it. That means you didn't have intentions for it to work, but work was done with it. Then already it becomes invalid. So it's true in all other areas of halacha, lo yefshar v'kom mechaven might be mutter, says Abaya. Over here, however, it will be asr. Like, and therefore, it's hichnisa l'rivka, if you put it with the team of cows, in the intentions of shetinoik v'tidoish, it's indeed possible, but not because of the global rule of lo yefshar v'kom mechaven, but because of exeris hakos of a special posuk in this parasha of Egla Rufa that excludes a calf that any work has been done with it. Asks the Gemara, if so, if you have a special pasuk that says that any animal, any calf that has been worked with, even if you didn't intend to work with it, if you say, if you're saying that even in the event that regularly loy afshar v'kom mechaven is mutter, nonetheless it's osur because loy ubad bo, then why in the case of loy efshar v'loy kom mechaven, which is the first halacha, where it's hichnisa l'rivka v'dosha, if he put it into the with the other cows just in order to feed and not in order to thresh, and just on its own accord it threshed, over there the halacha was kshera, it's kosher. Why? It's loy efshar and loy kom mechaven. It was not really feasible not to put the calf in there, and I didn't have intentions. Normally it's true that lo yafshar v'lo yikom mechaven, we saw that in the previous daf, everybody says it's mutter. However, why don't you say, the pasuk says lo yubad, that if it was worked with, even if you didn't work it, but it was worked with, that it's possible, why in that case is it kosher? Yihocha filareisha nami. Answers the Gemara as follows. Ha lo yidom yo elo loha. Let's understand the following halacha, and then we'll understand the difference between whether a calf was just happened to be thrashing on its own accord and was not the intentions of the owner, to a case where the owner himself intended this calf to thrash the to do the thrashing. So what does it say? It says in the pasuk, Shochin oleho. Well, this is halacha. It's not the term of a pasuk. Shochin oleho. Oif. And this is actually talking about Pora Aduma, that the halacha is, and like we said before, the Gemara says in Saita Daf Memvav that the halachas of Egla Rufa and the halachas of Pora Aduma are similar. Shochin olea oif. If a bird happened to alight, happened to rest on top of this Pora Aduma, onto it, kshira. Even though a Pora Aduma, the red cow that's been worked with, that's carried anything, is possible to be a Pora Aduma. However, if a bird just alighted on the back of this cow, then and the cow is now carrying the bird, nonetheless it's kosher. However, Ola Olea Zohar, if a bull mounted for mating purposes onto this cow, Psula, in that case the cow is now carried the bull, and it's possible. My Tama, what should be the difference between the two? Where in the Torah would we see a difference between the two? Either way, the owner didn't do it. It just happened on its own. Either the bird went on it, or the bull went on it, on their own accord. Why should the bird going on the Pora Aduma not render it possible, and the bull, yes, render it possible? Omer of Papa explained as follows. Iksiv, had it said in the Pasuk, Ovad, iron base dalet, the Korinon Ovad, and not only is it written Ovad, but it's actually read as Ovad, then what does it mean Ovad? Ovad means that you worked it. Ad de Ovid Be'iu, until its owner actually worked the animal. In which case it makes no difference whether a bull went on it or whether a bird went on it, it would be kosher. Iksiv Ubad, had it said in the Torah Ubad, with a vav, v'korin on ubad, and it would also be red ubad, afila memela. Then in any case, when any work that's being done, even on its own, even if it's just a bird that rested on the top of the cow, it would be possible. Now, afila memela nami. Hashta, but now, dichsiv ovad, if you look in the Sefer Torah, you'll see that it says just iron based dalad, which is ovad, that you worked with it. V'korin on, but when you read it, ubad. It says that work was done with it, not that you worked it. Ubad dumya de ovad. So there has to be some similarity between Ubad and Ovad. It's true that there's certain cases where Ubad, even if it was done on its own, it's going to be possible. But only if it's similar to Ovad, it's got some similarity to a case where you actually worked it. Ma Ovad, in the case where you work the animal, the owner is pleased with the work being done. Af Ubad, so too the work that's done on the animal without the intentions of its owner, denichale, it has to be that he's pleased with it. If a bird goes onto the back of a cow, the owner's not pleased. He couldn't care. He's indifferent to it. If he's indifferent, it's true that it's Ubad, but it's not similar to Ovad. And therefore it's kosher. However, in the case that a bull goes on it, where under regular circumstances, the owner is very pleased with it. That's how animals mate. Since he's pleased with it, therefore it's called nichale. It's an ubad, even though he didn't do it, but he wouldn't have told the bull to go on it, especially not if it's a para aduma, and he would lose the para aduma. But since regularly, generally, he would be pleased with it, it's an ubad similar to ovad, and that's why it's possible. And now we can go back to our Egla Rufa that we started with. That with this young newborn calf that's been attached to the team of cows, that if the owner put it there just in order for it to drink, the owner actually doesn't want it to thresh. It's too weak to thresh. He just has to put the animal there in order to feed from its mother. If so, the owner doesn't want it. If he doesn't want it, it stays kosher. However, if he puts it with the team of cows in order that he should help the cows thrash, then he wants it. If he wants it, then it's going to be possible. Continues the Gemara now, a fourth source to Rava, that Loi Efshar v'kom echaven is Osir. According to Rabbi Yehuda. Tal Shema we learned in a Braisa. Aveda, if a person found a garment and he's looking after it until its owner comes to claim it, then you have to look after it. If you just take a garment and you put it in some box on some shelf and you leave it indefinitely, it's going to get moldy, it's going to get ruined. So part of your mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda is to actually protect it, and once in a while you have to air it out. So if you have such an Aveda, lo yishtacheno lo al gabe mito, you should not spread it on top of a bed, v'loyal gabim mogurd, and nor should you put it on a hook, l'tzor koi, when at the same time it's actually serving the needs of the person who's looking after it. Aval shoytcho l'tzor ko, but if you're spreading it out over a bed purely for the sake of protecting this garment, then al gabim amitov al gabim magoid, then you're allowed to put it on top of the bed, spread it on the bed, or onto the hook. Nizdamnu loy orchin. What happens if this person who's doing Hashavas Aveda, he has some guests? Loy yishtacheno. He's not allowed to spread out these garments. Loy al gabi mita, loy al gabi magoid. Not over beds, not over hooks. Bein letzor ko, bein letzor koi. Not only that if he's doing it for himself, he's not allowed to spread them out, even if he's doing it for the sake of the garment, you're not allowed to do it. Over there, it's a case of loy efshar, because you have to spread out these garments in order to protect them. And why do we not let him do it? We don't let him do it letzor koi. If he's doing it for his own sake, that means his own benefit, to pride himself and to show off, or to show that he's got nice garments and nice material in his home, and he's trying to show that to the guests. So that's what letzor koi means. So even though it's loy efshar, it's called loy efshar v'kom echaven, and you see here clearly that it's asur. This would be proof to Rava that it's asur, that loy efshar v'kom echaven is asur. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof. Shani hosom de kolilo. Regularly, normally, lo yefshav v'kom echaven, it would be mutter. However, in this particular case, you're actually destroying the garments with your hands. Kolilo means you're burning it. You're destroying the garments by hanging them out whilst there are guests here. Imishum einabisha, either because of an evil eye that will set an eye on it and that could ruin it, or imishum ganvi, or it could be that one of the guests will be a thief and will actually steal these garments. So it's nothing to do with the regular issa of stealing somebody else's garment. It's not yours. You want to use it, you're not allowed to use it, letzor koi, it's asur. If it's only letzor koi, if it's loy efshar v'kom echaven, then Normally, according to Abaya, for example, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be mutter. However, you're not, that means that wouldn't be gezel if you do it according to Abaya, according to Rava. He says always lo yafshav kol mechaven is asar, because you're not allowed to use it. You're being mechaven, you're having intentions to use somebody else's garment. You're not allowed to do that, even if lo yafshar, if you couldn't really avoid it, because the garment itself needs it. However, over here, it says Abaya, even in the event that normally it would be mutter to use it, because I need to air it out for its own sake, even if I have intentions to benefit myself from it, it would be mutter. Lo yafshar mechaven is mutter according to Abaya, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Over here it would be different, because you're destroying the garment, because the guests would set eyes on it. Continues the Gemara, and here is now actually going to be a question or proof, stroke question, stroke refutation to the first version of Rava. In the first version, we learnt that the Machlokes Abaya and Rava was by Efshar v'loy kol mechaven. It was in a case where you could have easily avoided the situation, but you didn't avoid it. V'loy kol mechaven, but the benefit you're having is not something you intended to have, and they were arguing according to Reb Shimon. And we said, according to Abaya, it's mutter, according to Rava, it's osa. Toshima. And now we're talking about garment sellers. They were selling clothes, and some of these clothes may have had kilayim. You're not allowed to benefit from clothes that have woolen linen sewn into them together. It's kilayim. But that's not really the responsibility of the seller. Whoever's buying the garment has to remove the kilayim. So Satoshima, Moichrei Ksus, the sellers, these garment sellers, Moichrin Kadarkon, they're allowed to wear these clothes like the regular normal garment sellers would, because you're not having intentions to benefit from the clothes itself. You just want people to see them. You want to advertise them so people should see that you're selling the clothes, but you're not actually trying to warm yourself up from these clothes or to protect yourself using these clothes. So it says, Moichre Ksus, Moichre and Kedarkon, they're allowed to wear these clothes as they regularly would, ubilvad on one condition, Shelo Yechavin, that you don't have intentions of Bechamo Mepnei Achamo, that when it's very hot, you don't have intentions that these clothes should protect you from the heat whilst you're wearing them, ubigashomim, and in the rainy days, Mepnei Gashomim, you don't have intentions that they are protecting you from the rain. However, Vatznuin, the pious people who would stay away from Aveira, even beyond the letter of the law, they would not wear it under any event. Mafshilon la'achirein b'makol, they would hang these clothes over their backs on sticks. They wouldn't actually wear the kilayim in order to avoid putting on clothes of kilayim, even when he's not intending to have benefit from them. So says the Gemara, v'ha'hocha. Over here, going back to the regular garment sellers, the efshar lemevet kitznuin. They don't have to wear the clothes. They could do what the tznuin do and just hold the clothes on a stick over their backs. So it's efshar. And we say explicitly that v'chiloy mechavin, if he doesn't have explicit intentions to benefit from the kilayim, shari, then it's muta. So you see clearly, it's efshar v'loy kol mechavin, it's muta. According to Rava, Rava said Efshar v'loy kol mechaven is osur. Says the Gemara, Tiyuvta leman demasni lishne kama de Rava. This is now a question, a refutation against the first version of Rava. Tiyuvta, indeed, it's a refutation of that version of Rava. According to the second version of the sugya before, there by Efshar v'loy kol mechaven, we said according to Reb Shimon, everybody says it's muta. So these halachas, this brisa would be following Reb Shimon. But according to the first version, where it's osur, according to Reb Yehuda, according to everybody, and according to Reb Shimon, Rava says it's osur, it's not muta for anyone. So it's a refutation against the first version of those halachas. And even though it's still in the middle of the Omud, we're going to stop here today, and in the next shiur we're going to start V'lo Yasik Bo, we're going to go back to the Mishnah and continue with the halachas of how one's supposed to dispose of chometz on Erev Pesach.